get the children on. And I'm thinking the same. Because I just love nativities. I just love carols. I remember when I was an atheist, when I was in the Communist Party, hated God, hated Christians, hated the church, hated Jesus, hated everything, basically. And I remember thinking once, I would never, ever go to church. But I thought, just at one moment in my life, I thought, if some Christian asked me to go to a carol service, then I'd go. Isn't that strange? There is something special about a nativity, something special about the coming of Jesus Christ. And I bet we've all got a favourite carol, haven't we? Yeah? Anybody like to shout out what their favourite carol is? Come Let Us Adore Him, yeah?
Silent Night.
Silent Night, yeah? Yeah?
Joy to the World,
yes. Actually, my favourite one is Joy to the World. The Lord has come, let earth receive her King. And we'll be looking at that in a minute or two. But first of all, let's go back to that scene from Vanity Fair. Anybody recognise it? Yes. Yeah, it was on at the time The Bodyguard was on. So you women are probably all watching The Bodyguard, weren't you? Yeah. And it was a period drama from ITV, which is strange. It was brilliant. Like, ITV was a bit like iPhones, you know, phones for numpties who couldn't operate phones. ITV, you see the similarity, was a bit like numpties. You know, it's dead simple. You explained everything. And now I think they're brilliant. And this was one of the best dramas I've ever seen in my life. It was a period drama set in the early 1800s in upper-class England. And it was a world where people strived for happiness through self-indulgent pleasure. It was a world where everything was done for show. Look how rich I am. I'm driving in a Rolls Royce or Bentley, but obviously not at that time they weren't. Look how well connected my family is. It was all for show. It was all pretension. Like Michael Palin said there. And the opening words, actually, it's buzzing a lot.
Yeah.
Howling. The opening words in that scene were this. This is Vanity Fair. Please remember, Vanity Fair is a very vain, wicked, foolish place, full of all sorts of humbug, falseness and pretension. Not a nice place, certainly, nor a happy one. And these were the words that got me. A world where everyone is striving for what is not worth having. A world where everyone is striving for what is not worth having. There must be some kind of way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion here. I can get no release. So Vanity Fair was a place, a world where everyone was striving for what is not worth having. And you know, in the 21st century, it's not a lot different from Vanity Fair. A world where seeking happiness through self-indulgent pleasure is seen as a top priority. But you know, this striving for happiness doesn't seem to bring happiness, at least not in the long run. One of my favourite programmes is Strictly Come Dancing. Don't tell me the result. You will be hung, drawn and quartered. Oh no, I love Jesus, don't I? I love you all. Yeah. Please don't tell me. I've not quite seen the end. I'm really looking forward to going home and seeing who's won. And you know, we sometimes hear, don't we, from the contestants, if I won Strictly Come Dancing, would be the happiest person in the world. Do you know that's not true? And do you know why I know it's not true? Because the Daily Mail says so. And I was reading this in the Daily Mail last Monday, it was, Monday just gone. Caroline Flack, you'll all know her, the Love Island host, has revealed that her battle with depression began the morning after she won Strictly Come Dancing in 2014. She said, I just couldn't pick myself up at all that year. I felt ridiculous being so sad when I just won the biggest show on telly and had such an amazing job. People see the celebrity lifestyle and assume everything is perfect, but fame doesn't make you happy. See, it seems we live in a world where we're all striving for what is not worth having. And this is the enigma, isn't it, of the 21st century here in England. We live in an age of tremendous advantages, wealth, modern technology, social media. I've got 8 friends on Facebook. Actually, I said that a couple of years ago and somebody checked up and they said, you've got hundreds, Eric. Well, I said, I'm just making a joke. It's all right, I've got a few. Don't feel sorry for me. But if I was lonely, they wouldn't be much use, would they? Most of them wouldn't be much use, to be honest. Yeah, we've got all those advantages. Yeah, loneliness is becoming a major problem. And not just in the elderly, where it used to be. When people die, you detach yourself, if you like, from your connections. Child suicides are on the increase, particularly in young males. Depression in young people is on the increase. Lives are being destroyed by drugs that my generation didn't even know existed. And extremes of wealth are increasing with all the social problems that brings. So we live in an enigma, don't we? All this striving for happiness doesn't seem to have done that. Maybe we are like Vanity Fair, a world where everyone is striving for what is not worth having. Maybe all this striving after self-indulgent pleasure, is not the way to happiness. And in Vanity Fair, that clip that I just told you there was a hint that there might be a way out. There must be some kind of way out of here. There's too much confusion, I can get no release. So what's this got to do with nativity, you're all thinking? Nativity, what's it got to do with it? Well, you know, 2,000 years ago, to quote my favourite hymn, a baby brought joy to all those who would seek after him. The words, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. So first of all, I've explained this before a few months ago. What is joy? Sometimes we struggle with joy. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. In fact, joy enables you to experience happiness and peace even when going through difficult times. You see the difference? You could be happy one day, you can be unhappy the next. But joy is that thing from God which enables you to be happy no matter what the state of the road. And I think of the Apostle Paul and his letter to the Philippians. He had a good idea he was going to be executed. And yet he uses joy and rejoice more than in any other book or letter in the New Testament. And you know, he actually posed the question, didn't he? I don't know what's going to happen to me, he said. But if I'm executed, I die and be with Jesus. And I'm very, very happy about that. If I'm not executed, I get to live with my friends a lot longer. And I'm very happy with that. Can you see the state of the road? What was going to happen to him? Didn't matter. He had a happiness because he had a joy of the Lord. So that's significant difference between joy and happiness. I would claim the world seeks happiness, and happiness soon filters and disintegrates when the state of the road changes. So we're looking at this baby that brought joy to those who sought after him. I'll just do a nativity reading, if you like, while it is nativity. And it's from Luke 2, verses 8 to 11, then 15 to 16, verse 20. Missing bits out just to speed it up. Then we can get to the bit you're all here for. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph lying, and the baby lying in a manger. The shepherds then went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So this baby brought joy to the shepherds. If you read the wise men, brought joy to the wise men as well. And this baby brings joy to people in the 21st century, not seeking after vain pleasures. But more than that, Jesus, the Son of God, brings joy to those who seek after him. The Bible makes an amazing claim, and this is amazing, that Jesus, the Son of God, created the universe, moment by moment sustains the universe, and one day he'll bring it to an end. Wow. Is that really? Is that say it in the Bible? Well, yeah, it does say it in the Bible. I'll just read from Hebrews. If you get the chance to read Hebrews, it's a fantastic letter. I don't think it was written by Paul, but whoever wrote it, it's an amazing letter, and it glorifies Jesus, the Son of God. So I'll read from chapter 1, verse 3, and then 10 to 12. "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything, or upholds everything, by the mighty power of his command." So if Jesus stopped sustaining the world, the universe, don't know what would happen, but it wouldn't be here. Moment by moment, Jesus is sustaining and upholding the universe. Verse 10, the Father says to the Son, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands." Jesus created the universe. This little baby that we celebrate the birth of in Bethlehem created the universe. "They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing." That's a universe. "You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever." Gosh, that's Jesus, creator, sustainer of the universe, who will bring it to an end one day. This is little baby Jesus that we celebrate. And the baby that promised joy to people who would seek after him is the Son of God who created the universe. And he promises joy to those who will seek after him. But you might be saying, "Phew, that's ridiculous. Science has disproved all that mumbo jumbo. That's just folklore. The Bible's an ancient book. It doesn't really understand modern science. A bit ridiculous." Well, on television, there's a rising star, a Professor Michio Kaku. You probably know him. He's got unkempt, longish coloured hair. He's a professor, very clever guy, a world-leading theoretical physicist. He's a professor at the City College of New York, the mouthpiece of modern atheism. And he says this, "To me it is clear that we exist in a plan." That's interesting. "In a plan which is governed by rules that were created." So there's a plan that somebody must be manipulating. There are rules that somebody's created and shaped by a universal intelligence and not by chance. It's amazing. You see, the Bible was saying this over 2,000 years ago. Taking science 2,000 years to catch up with that. The universal intelligence that Kaku was talking about is actually Jesus, the Son of God. Amazing. And if we seek after him, the promise is that he will give us joy unimaginable. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. let earth receive her King. So, just to summarise, I don't know what we're doing for time. Those who sought after baby Jesus received joy, we saw that. And those who seek after Jesus, the Son of God, today, who's living in the heavens, Son of God, we will receive joy. So in the words of Vanity Fair, a world where everyone is striving for what is not worth having is not a happy place. Seeking self-indulgent pleasure as a top priority will not bring lasting joy. There must be some kind of way out of here. And there is. It's seek after Jesus. He will give you unimaginable joy. So, we can seek happiness, and I think that's part of human nature, isn't it? To seek to be happy. We can seek happiness the world's way, seeking pleasure, doing things for show, rolling up in a Bentley, which I always failed to do over 12 years, even though it was promised right at the beginning, be pastor of SBC, Eric, and we'll get you a Bentley. And I got a Bentley when I left. It was like a little dinky toy. But I'm not bitter. So you can choose to live the world's way, or you can choose to lead God's life. Seek God's will for your life. Seek Jesus, and joy will be yours. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. So, I think I might have to roll up. Are they ready? Okay. If you're interested in seeking joy, which will give you happiness no matter what the state of the road, have a word with me afterwards. I'll give you a little leaflet. It's called Two Ways to Live. You can choose the world's way of Vanity Fair, or you can change God's way of seeking Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Thank you. So, the exciting bit, it's coming, the children, I think. Are they ready?